Let's return to the first book of Samuel chapter 14. Samuel chapter 14. We'll read verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Tonight, I want us to reflect on the theme, trusting in the infinity of God's power. And I will consider the last portion of our text. It says that, "For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And I said, our theme is trusting in the infinity of God's power. The declaration of this sublime truth about God's almighty power was made by Jonathan. But there is no hindrance to the Lord in every situation. That is, the power of God is without hindrance. His will is without hindrance. And that is a great truth. And in every situation, the Lord is, whatever He will do to help His people can never be hindered. And it's a great truth that if we understand it well and we trust it, we shall be able to enjoy much of what God has willed and God does for us. Indeed, whatever God is and God has is all for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. His, all His attributes and all that He does is for believers, because everything He has is for the Son, and we are all the sons of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a privilege that our Heavenly Father has a power that is infinite, beyond that we can work beyond anything on earth and in heaven. And from all to eternity, nothing can hinder us. And indeed, as I said, it's a great thing that if we should consider it well, it's a great thing that it will move us to greater dependence on Him, and also our strength to do many things that the Lord commands us to do. So as I said, this declaration also was made by Jonathan, the son of King Saul. And he made it at a time when the nation of Israel, under the leadership of Saul, was in a great distress. The Philistines came against Israel with a grand army. And before this attack by the Philistines, for over 20 years, the Philistines have ruled over the Israelites. Remember, when Eli died, when the sons of Eli were defeated with Israel in battle, Phinehas, Hophni and Phinehas, and the ark was taken by the Philistines, and then the ark was there for about 20 years. And later, the people desired that the ark would come, and Samuel preached to them to repent from their sins, and then the Lord blessed them, and Samuel was able to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. But they were oppressing them for a long time. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, that was where Samuel did this liberation for Israel. Israel had for 20 years been without the ark of the Lord and without any presence of God dealing with them. But Samuel liberated them from the Philistines. However, after this liberation, the Philistines were still keeping some pockets of military stations in the land of Israel. They have totally been taken, but then they were having small areas in Israel that they were still holding on to, so that their presence was still in Israel. And that before this war also, King Saul has reigned in Israel for 3 years. Remember, Israel along the line asked that they want a king, and God told them that through Samuel that you give them a king if they have requested it. And God sent someone to anoint King Saul, and he became the first king of Israel. And at this point in time, before this battle, King Saul has reigned for 2 years over Israel.
And after he has been for 2 years, he chose a personal guard of 3,000 men to be his personal guard. And while at this time he was staying in a place called Michmash in a city in this, the tribe of Benjamin. And out of this 3,000, he gave 1,000 of them to his son Jonathan, and he was leading this 1,000. It can be this record in chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Soon Jonathan had these 1,000 soldiers. Jonathan attacked a military base of the Philistines that was in Geba. And as I said, the Philistines, though they were having pocket of military stations in Israel. So Jonathan immediately has his 10 military guards. He went and attacked one of these posts. Let me read that one. I think in chapter 13, verse 3. 1 Samuel 13, verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistine that was in Geba, and the Philistine heard it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrew hear." Verse 4. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of Philistines, and that Israel also was hard in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. You know, the Israelites were supposed to sack all these Philistines from their land, but I think they were reluctant. But when Jonathan had his army, he started to strike them. And this brought enmity between the Philistines and the Israelites. And then, after this enmity, the Philistines organized themselves for a great battle. So they came with a great army. In the James chapter 13, verse 5 to 7, we read how they came. First Samuel 13, verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. And look at what happened to Israel. When the men of Israel saw that they were in the straits, but the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, and in thickets, and in rocks, and in high places, and in caves. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all people followed him, trembling. So the whole nation, from the king to the people, have become weak by seeing the large army the Philistines were bringing to fight with them. Saul himself, as we said, people following him were trembling. So if the king himself is trembling, the people following him are trembling, then what else can anyone do? And some of them too has run away. And you ask yourself, why should such a thing be? Has Israel forgotten his God? Have they forgotten all that the Lord has done for them? And have they even forgotten even Samuel? And how come the people of God are now, they can't even pray? They can't go call upon God to help them. So at this moment, Israel was almost defeated and all hope were gone. And we can even see that from chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, the Philistines had already made inroads. They have made invasions in verse 7, chapter 13, verse 17, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the way that led to Ophrah, onto the land of Shur. Another company turned the way to Beth Horon. Another company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. So they have already entered in and invaded. So not only that the army, they saw the army, but there was invasion into Israel from the north, west, and east. And I mean, Israel was in the streets. But in the midst of this invasion, in the midst of all these distresses, we can see that Jonathan could trust in the Lord. He could trust on the infinite power of God. Because all this happened before Jonathan realized, no, God's power is to be trusted. That is why from chapter 13 up to verse 14 downward, then Jonathan was even with Saul and with all these people trembling. But people realized that, no, God, the power of God can never be subdued by this great army, and that his people must trust in him. So all this trembling, all this army, yet Jonathan trusted on the infinite power of God, And he made this great saying about God that in verse 6, he says that, and Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So Jonathan could depend on the unrestrained power of God. And then because he looked on God's power as unrestrained, the difficulty he made a determination to go over against this Philistines, one of their garrisons, to go and fight. And look at how his trust on this, the infinite power of God, was able to encourage him. So that the difficulty of a risky passage to the enemy's camp did not discourage him. In chapter 14, verse 4, look at what he did. What is there? And between the passage, by which Jonathan sought to go over onto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one of Moses, and the name of the other sinner. Even the way for him to go, and if he want to fight with these Philistines, it was a rocky and a very difficult place. But look at verse 13. He was willing to take risk. He was willing to do anything. Verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Before he went, he made a promise that if these people call us to come, then the Lord has made us to fight. But then all that encouraged him was that God is able to work with more of you, and that God's power is infinite. It is not restricted by the means that is available. God is able to do anything. That's the main sense of the whole thing. So that in verse 23, we read that, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. By the hand of Samuel, by the hand of Jonathan, if you read the rest of the verses, you see that he moved and he was able to fight and overcome the garrison he went to. And then they move on to fight, and the whole nation of Israel were like, oh, the people were even fighting against themselves, and they were able to encourage themselves to come and fight. But where did this victory come from? It came from Jonathan's resolution to trust on the infinite power of God, that God is not restricted by any means. God is not restricted by what is available to us, or the few people that are at hand to do his work. So what do we observe from this as believers? We also have many things to observe from here. So this situation of Israel then has many parallels in our lives. We can also, as individuals or as a church, have many situations whereby we are so restricted. We have been brought into a position we don't know what to do. And sometimes there will be many who will be weak in faith and be questioning God. But what do we do? We may have our times of distress, disappointment, chronic illnesses as individuals, losses, unanswered prayers, depressions in life, and so many troubles are still there. And what do we do? The Israelites were having their trouble. There was war. There was large army against them. And Jonathan, who looked upon God and looked upon his power, and said, no, there is no restraint on God. If I trust him to act, God is able to deliver us. And Jonathan went on. So we also have our troubles. In each of our troubles, the power of God is unlimited. In each of our troubles, let's still remember the infinite power of God. You know, at times that we don't discern God's presence with us. Especially when our old sins sometimes try to, come against us with many temptations, and become so much trouble to us. Sometimes somebody will ask himself, am I really saved? No, there's a power of God to subdue every sin that is so heavy upon us. Wherever the Lord delivers us from, he's able to keep us so that it will not overcome us. So we also have our troubles. And also in time to make bold decisions in obedience to God's will, while all surrounding conditions seem so favorable. As Christians, as a church, there are times we need to make decisions for the Lord. But sometimes we don't have, we may not have as much as means to even depend upon. But in such cases, we depend on the infinite power of God, because If whatever we have decided to do is His will, if He has commanded, no matter how hard and difficult, He's able to support and provide. So that is how we look and trust in our God. So in times of these difficulties, let us refresh ourselves. Let us also learn from the trust of Jonathan, which he had in the infinite power of God, that which encouraged him to be steadfast and persevere in terms of such great distress. So that when Israel and all the army of Israel were feeble, and some have run away to other cities, and some have dejected, and saw himself, he didn't know what to do. And then many were trembling. Those who were even following him were trembling. He could rather trust in the Lord, and the Lord was able to help him. So that as the people fail to realize the power of the Lord, we also sometimes, we often also fail to see that when troubles are so hard, we sometimes forget that God, our God, is an infinite God. His power is beyond measure, and He's able to subdue all things for us. Whichever situation we are in, He's able to take care of us. This is one of the error in the teachings of charismatics, that they will claim that God has power, and yet that power is in one man somewhere, unless you go there for prayers or for something. No, the power of God is for every believer. Every believer is a child of God. The power of God is for us. It's infinite power. It's not in a special healer or somebody who has special privilege. No, all believers have the same blessings and have the same privileges before God. His power is for us. So is it, they claim to trust in the almighty power of God and talking about power, but yet they claim often they look at the power in one man somewhere who claimed to have that power. But no, we come to the Lord. He has promised us that He is going to be with us. So we trust in His almighty power, which is infinite for every situation. So my next question, why must we always trust in God's infinite power? The first is because He can never fail. Why must we trust God's infinite power when situations avail themselves? And we even have alternative, like where we can trust in other means or other people which may relieve us, so that our trust in God will not be, we will not so much trust in the Lord. What do we do? We should rather trust in God because He can never fail. Remember, Moses told Israelites, when they were about to enter the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8, he said that, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." You know, Israel has gone through all the wilderness, and they are yet about to enter the promised land. And Moses, who has led them, was going to lead them. And you know the kind, the discouragement that situation might bring to them. But he told them that God is the one who has brought you this far. God is the one who is going to lead you. Moses, himself was just a mere man that God is. But I'm sure the people have also trusted Moses in the sense that if Moses is to die, then all hopes were gone. But Moses told them, "The Lord, He doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." God is the one that goes with them, and that they should trust in Him. So if we ever obey His command to do something for His glory, because where the Israelites were going to the promised land, it was to accomplish the purpose of God for His promise to Abraham. So if they should be discouraged not to enter, God's glory and God's promises is not going to be met. So that they were to trust in the Lord. So we also, if we obey the commands of God to do something for His glory, we can depend on His unfailing power to support us. Whatever the word of God encourages us to do, we can trust in the almighty power of God to support us. The situation around us will be difficult, but He will never fail us. So long as we trust in Him, He will never fail us. And also, we must always trust in God's almighty power because He cannot be hindered, as we have learned before. Remember the angel that came to tell Mary that she conceived and bear a son in her virginity. You know what Mary said? "How can this thing be?" And the angel said that, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In Luke 1:37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. God is able to break through the natural order of things. Sometimes people, I think it's a false teaching. They say, oh, God, I mean, God has some law that binds him that if he cannot act, I mean, in a certain way. But no, God, I mean, he made natural laws, he makes anything, and when he wants to do miracles, he breaks through that order of natural, I mean, how natural things are made, so that a virgin can conceive and bear a son. So that in when the friends of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, threw them into the fire, they could not be bent. It's not normal. I mean, naturally, they ought to be bent. But no, God's power was able to sustain them in the fire that their hair was not bent. Their hair was even not bent. Nothing of their clothes were the same when they took them out. And also, he was able to stop the mouth of lions for Daniel. Only God who can do that. He was able also to divide the Red Sea and River Jordan for Israel to pass through. So you see that God is able to break through the natural order of things, so that his power truly can never be hindered. And also, we must always trust in God's infinite power, because he is eternal. Not only is his power never fails or cannot be hindered, he is eternal. In Isaiah 40 verse 28, he says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the great creator of all of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary?" How often have we thought that God is weary because we are weary? How often have we thought that God's power is limited because our own power is limited? It's because of our own weaknesses. His power is still the same regardless of space, time, and measure, as it was when he created the world when there was no sin. So it is now. And even if we look at ourselves, as it was when he subdued our sins to save us, so it is with now. You see, when we are born again, when we in the initial stages of our Christian life, there are so much sins to be joy and we are happy. But along the Christian walk, when trouble began to assail us, we begin to doubt as if God can even keep us. But we forgot that our greatest sin, God was able to save us from. He was able to deliver us from the power of Satan, who has kept us so that we could not even believe the truth of the gospel. He was able to deliver from such power. But yet, when trouble comes, then we think that God is fainting or God's power is weary. No. Isaiah 40 tells us that, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." He's never weary. His power is still the same. It is us and the world which keeps on changing from one place, from period to period. We ourselves, we are growing weak in our own strength and everything around us. So we sometimes think that God is also weary. No, God is not weary at all. His power is still the same. Now let's see a lesson here. Then let us learn this, that as believers, our strength must always depend on the Lord, whose power is infinite. Whose power is infinite. If we trust in his power like that, we can think of success in our Christian walk. If ever we should think of success in our Christian walk, we should think of the infinite power that holds us, that supports us. Whenever we trust the arm of the flesh, we will fail. We will be hindered. We will be in distress. Many believers often fall into distresses, often fall into many failures in their Christian walk because they trusted in their own selves. No mature Christian is ever strong to stand on his own. If ever anyone, remember why Adam, some people ask, oh, why God is so powerful and almighty, why did sin enter into the world? Like he allowed Adam to sin. You know, God left Adam to act on himself. And whenever, even if a pious creature acts on himself without the power of God, he will fail. How come Satan failed? God also left Satan to himself to act, and he failed. God was proving to us that even the pious of his creatures, without sin, if left by his own power,
he will fall. So Adam fell not because there was any sin in him, because God allowed him to ask for himself. So let us also take a lesson from this, that whenever we ask for ourselves, we shall fail. Whenever we depend on our own strength, we shall fail. Because the purest of all creatures, Satan himself, before the morning star and all his other demonic powers, before they fell, they were pure. There were no sin in them. But when God left them to ask for themselves, they have to fall. But how often people think they are so strong? Because we are sometimes we think they are wise. No, if left to ourselves, we shall fail. Even after we are converted, sin will overcome us. The world will overcome us, and we shall not be different from the world or from sinners. So let us know that for us to walk aright with God, so that we will not fail, we will not be hindered, and that our flesh will not distress us, let us trust in the almighty power of God, so that we shall be faithful in our walk with Him. Let us always be mindful of this, that every fearful and complaining Christian is a distrusting Christian. Let us always mark it. Often, we may have been Christian friends who once were so believing, but immediately began to complain about the things of God, about the work of God. Mark you, they are distressed, they are distrusting the Lord. Because whoever trusts in the almighty power of God will never complain. Because what God has given us to do as a church, He says, well, and we are continuing to do. You see what in chapter 13, look at what those who were following saw. Chapter 13, verse 7, he said that, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As also he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. How can these people trust the Lord? They were trembling at the face of the enemy. So let us remind ourselves. And those Christians or brethren who be complaining and fearful, they are very infectious. If care is not taken and we entertain their fears and complain, it will affect us. And we also begin to complain and doubt God's power to work on our behalf. So immediately we see any brother like that, no matter who it is, let us beware. It will affect us, and we ourselves will also become weak. And our trust in the Lord will be weakened, and we also begin to question many things which the Lord Himself has not, will not allow us to complain about. So, in coming to conclusion, let us think about this thing. Let us learn that there is no restraint to the Lord to make our witness in Hachohir to bear fruit abundantly. You see how often we have gone out to witness. I remember myself from TMBC for how many years? Over 10 years. Oh yeah. We have been witnessing for TMBC up to here. And you ask yourself, how many people have there, come to the church to our witness? Few. But in the Lord's hands, shall to know. There's no restraint to the Lord to make our witness in Hachohir to bear fruit abundantly. He's able to do more than we can think of or ask. He can subdue the hardened heart of many, even in this suburb, to His own kingdom. Let us only trust His power, His boundless power, and let us continue to be obedient in our labors and prayers. That our Lord is to labor and pray. His is to bless, His is to save, His is to add to His church. In Acts chapter 2, the Lord added to the church daily that He saves. We are only to be obedient. We are only to trust in His power to do our work and leave the rest to Him. There was a missionary who went to China, Hudson or someone. He waited for 7 years, not a so gossip. Yet, sometimes we also have to check our own deficiencies, that is true, but we should not consider much of our deficiencies because we are always weak in many things. We should rather trust in the power of God to do His work and not depend much of our deficiencies. Yes, if there are sins we have to repent of, if there are things we are not doing well, we have to do well, but in all, let us trust His almighty power to save, His almighty power to keep us in His service. Let us also learn our Sunday school teachers and helpers that not to be discouraged by the coldness of the children we teach, for there is no restraint to the Lord to bring understanding to these children to the salvation of the absolute. How often we look at this, sometimes they come a week, ask them the lesson they have learned, most of them cannot even remember. But let us not be weary. The Lord's power is not restrained. He is of great power at a point in time to turn these forgetful minds
to his own glory by giving them his own salvation. So let us not be weary by the coldness and the indifference that we meet as we witness even for these Sunday school children. May this also encourage us to contend with many who have been led astray into believing false teachings. Sometimes, how difficult to deal with those, especially those who have been forced converts. I remember myself, I had to deal with a friend for over 10 years before I saw there was some differences in her and the belief, and I saw some changes. So let us not be weary. Let us contend with many who have been led astray into believing false teachings. It is not a word that will change them or a minute with them. It's a continuous work, and we should give ourselves into it. We should know that there is no restraint to the Lord to deliver them from the lies that has ensnared them. It's only God who is able to ensnare them. What we are able, the arguments we are able to tell them, it's not that saves them, that brings them to the Lord. Though the means that the Lord used to grant them understanding, but that is not the power to bring them from that condition, is in the hand of God. He's able to bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you remember Apostle Paul? He was led by false belief that the Christianity was wrong. And what did he do? He was killing Christians, pursuing after them. But who changed him? It wasn't any preaching of the apostles. It was the almighty power of God that brought him to his knees. And the darkness that was, as he said, was upon his own eyes were drawn away. So let us not be weary. God is able to convert whatever error, evil, and evil doctrines have done to those that we know. We should not be weary. Let's continue. And whatever we have the opportunity, let's contend with them. Let's stand firm and make the truth known to them. And always let them know that they are wrong. But the Lord Himself is able to bring them back to Himself. Let this also encourage us. The power of God, the infinite power of God, the infinity of His power, let it encourage us to continue to witness to our relatives who are not yet converted. For there is no restraint to the Lord to bless our efforts despite the hardness of their heart and carelessness about their soul. How often, having to witness this, we know our relatives, we love them so dear, and we wish they are really converted. And then whatever we tell them, they seem careless. And yet we know that if they should die today, they are lost to hell forever. And sometimes we are worried about them. What do? We still trust in Almighty Power that so long as He gives them life, He's able to subdue them, He's able to bring them to Himself. It's not, His power is not restrained to save such who have come adamant to His word. So let us not be weary. Let us, all that we need, that we ought not to be lazy and indifferent towards them. We should take every opportunity to still continue in our labors. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, we are told, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good." That's how we witness. We don't know at what point our conversation with them will come home to them. And we don't know at the point where a word or two will turn to their conversion. So we trust in the Almighty Spirit of God that there's no restraint to Him. He's able to bring our people efforts, and He's able to turn these who are hiding themselves against Him, and that He's able to bring them to salvation. Again, let us also trust God's power. He's able to subdue all our sins so that we can serve Him in peace and in joy. He's able to, in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall feel faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is our God, and this is what he does. And whenever we see our own weaknesses, whenever we see our own doubtful state, and how we are maybe struggling to win trust, let us remember that God never faints, and he's able to give us courage and strength. If only we will come to him, to the throne of grace, to ask for grace. Always, I say in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20, he said that, wherefore we receive in the kingdom that shall not be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we will be able to serve God acceptably. Unless we have grace, and where do we get the grace from? Through prayer, through our consistent prayer, through the more we are on our knees, even if it's a conversion of a friend or a relative, or any work that we engage in, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a witness we do to people, let us remember that we may be weak, we may be feeble, we may our faith, our argument may not be strong, but let us trust that so long as they are sound words, the words we love, that it will be a way to encourage someone or lead somebody to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us not be weary about it. Let's continue. For he himself is able to bring strength to those who are strengthless. He's able to strengthen our weak effort in evangelism. He's able to strengthen our weak effort to fight against our own sins. Sometimes when our own sin besets us, and temptation comes one after another, and also even when there are doubts, one after the other, we ask ourselves, are we really saved sometimes? But then let us not forget that the Lord is able to renew our strength. He's able to help us to mount upon the wings of eagle. That means he's able to give us that which our thoughts and our hearts will soar to glory, so that our hearts will rest on things of glory than on things on earth. So that we shall be able to serve the Lord with strength and with grace. May the Lord help us and help us to see this infinite power of his, which is ours in all endeavors, in all that we do. Let us also remember that whenever we are weak, the Lord is not weak. His hand is still strong. Whenever there are troubles that we face in our family, in as a church, as individual, let us always remember that we can always go back to the Lord and trust in him. For Jonathan himself said that what? There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many of you. Look at what Jonathan was able to do by trusting the Lord. He was able to bring a whole victory to the whole nation of Israel. If he had, when he went by this, if he did not act. One thing is to know the promises or the attribute of God, and one thing is to trust on that promise or attribute to act. Many people, when it comes to our reform circles, we are very good with the attribute of God and we are much, much knowledgeable. But practically, few of us trust in these attributes, to act in this attribute, to do things that God commands us to do. But let us be of those that trust in this almighty power of God to act. For that, this is the only way we can do anything. Without trusting on what he can do for us, our strength will fail us, and our walk with him will always become less strong. So may the Lord help us to be able to be strong in the Lord, the strength that he provides, only so that we can be able to do all that he commands us. May the Lord help us. Shall we turn to